Good morning and happy Father's Day. Our scripture text is taken from the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 15 and verse 22. And this morning, we're going to be focusing on five words in our text. Bring out the best robe. Now, to get the context of our scripture text this morning, we'll read the passage, which is the story of the prodigal son. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Now the prodigal son had gone out and squandered his livelihood with loose and irresponsible living. Having done so, he finally hit rock bottom, and he came back to the father. The love of the father in this parable is unconditional and forgiving, and it represents God's love for you. In the sermon proper, we shall make two points this morning. First, that the prodigal son did not deserve any provisions upon his return. Secondly, the father gave his son the best robe in exchange for his filthy garments. The prodigal son did not deserve any provisions upon his return. Now, the prodigal son himself did not feel himself deserving of anything. And his older brother, likewise, seems to make a good point. Is the father really being fair by celebrating the return of his younger brother and not acknowledging his loyalty and faithfulness through the years to his father? The eldest son completely misses the point that it wasn't about earning the father's love. Rather, it was about accepting the father's love, which is freely given without any strings attached. As our brother Scott is fond of saying, he ought to have been diligent about sweeping his own side of the street. Now, our human fathers love us, not because we deserve their love, but rather because it is natural for them to do so. We love our children because it is natural for us to love our children. Not because we have made a careful evaluation as to whether we ought to love our children. Love is the greatest gift of all. Now, we make our mistakes as human fathers, and our fathers likewise have made mistakes. Jesus puts it this way: if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Now, the prodigal son recognized that his life was such that he did not deserve anything from his earthly father, much less his heavenly father. In this lies the spiritual truth which is at the heart of the story. Our lives are such that we don't deserve any provisions from our heavenly Father, much less admittance into Father's house. You are indeed angry, for we have sinned. In these ways we continue, and we need to be saved. From what? From our sin, from ourselves. We are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. In the parable, the prodigal son received things that he did not deserve. He was the recipient of the Father's grace. What is grace? Grace can be defined in two words: undeserved favor. Grace is receiving good things which we do not deserve because of the goodness of the giver. And it is on this basis, on the basis of the grace of God, that we approach the Father through Jesus Christ, his Son. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. And if it has appeared to all men, God's grace has appeared to you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes shall not perish, but have eternal life. Notice also in the parable that the father also showed the prodigal son mercy. Mercy is the other side of the coin of grace. It is not getting what we do deserve. The prodigal realized that he barely had the right to be a servant in the house of God, and that even that might have been pushing it. He hoped, at least for this mercy, for he had enough faith in the goodness of his father that the father would in no wise cast him out of the house completely. I suppose that he would have been content to live off of the crumbs that fell from his father's table. Nobody comes to God the Father in his or her own righteousness and is able to stand. So if you came here this morning thinking that you aren't good enough to come to God through Jesus Christ, you're right. You're not good enough to come to Jesus Christ. But He is good, and on the basis of His goodness, He will receive you if you come to Him in faith this morning. For we ourselves were also once foolish. Some of us still are. Disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hating and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So we all come to God from somewhere, and we are all Titus 3:3 kind of people until God picks us up by our bootstraps and brings us home. So again, I ask you, do you feel yourself to be too bad, too much a sinner to come to God this morning? Consider Moses, the murderer. Consider David, the adulterer, likewise guilty of murder one. Consider Rahab, the harlot. Do you feel yourself too good a person to come to God? Believe it or not, there are some who feel that their own goodness is enough to get them to heaven. These are those who subscribe to the seesaw gospel. They take their good works, put it on one side of the seesaw, and the bad works on the other side, and if the good works side comes down, they're good, right? And if the bad works side come down, they got to get a higher ladder so that they can climb up there and drop some more good works, and sooner or later the thing will come back to the bottom. But the truth of the matter is, all of the good works on one side of that seesaw and one sin, one bad work on the other side, that thing's going to drop like a stone on the bad side, and you're not going anywhere until Jesus Christ jumps on the other side. But He won't just jump there unless you ask Him to. So I ask you again, do you feel yourself too good a person to come to God? Consider the Pharisees. Consider the rich young ruler. Consider the attitude of the older son in our parable this morning. And if these things are not enough for you, stay tuned for the second point of our sermon this morning. You shall not remain in suspense a moment longer. The Father gave His Son the best robe. Bring out the best robe in exchange for His filthy garments. Now, His Son, I suppose, would have been quite content with another set of clothes. The clothes that He had come back with were torn and tattered. Filthy garments. But the Father must clothe His Son with the best robe. His love for His Son was such that no ordinary robe would do. When the sinner comes humbly to God the Father, any old robe will just not do. We have an example in the Old Testament of Joshua the high priest standing before God in the throne room. Let's consider the scene. And then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. That's Jesus. And Satan standing in his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?" Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. And then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, "Take away the filthy garments from him." And to him he said, "See, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with what? Rich robes." And I said, "Let them put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put the clothes on him. And the angel of the Lord stood by. Now, if anyone was good enough to deserve to be present with God, it was this guy. Joshua was the high priest in a day of revival amongst the remnant of Judah. Yet even Joshua had filthy garments on, and these were exchanged for rich robes. Now, the best robe is the robe of Christ's righteousness. That is what the best robe represents in our text. "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." And again, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation." He has covered me with, yeah, you guessed it, the robe of righteousness. This is the illustration, or the text, which is the backdrop of what Christ was talking about when he made that statement in Luke 15:22. "As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations." Now, if God the Father has given you the best robe, which is Christ, then you may enter into the joy of his house. If you are still a ways off, or you have wandered away, you are not outside the omniscient gaze of the Almighty. I don't care where you are, or where you've been, where you stand right now, where you are in your life, the Father, the Heavenly Father, sees you. And he awaits your return this morning. He has called his servants, and he has asked that they take the best robe and place it near to the door, that you might be clothed in it. If you will only return to the house today. The fatty calf is being prepared. The ring has been taken out of its place. Today, it's time to come home. Dear Heavenly Father, We pray that you have convicted and convinced the hearts of many through this word to come back to you today. Lord God, do your work in the hearts of sinners and in the hearts of your people. Impress the truth upon any who still might be holding out from your gracious offer of salvation this morning, that this is where it's at. Lord God, that such a one will admit before you and confess before your church of their need for their garments stained by the world to be exchanged for the best robe, which is the righteousness of your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.